All righty.
All right, Mary.
I will. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, Elias. It's good to talk to you again.
And how are you proceeding, my friend?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing really well. I've been really excited lately, and I'm looking forward to this little chat with you. But I think if I had to put a topic on what I'd like to talk about today, I kind of wrote down that it would be the continuation or to continue to explore the mechanics of consciousness. And in that, I'm probably going to be like a butterfly and kind of light on this little flower and this little topic and that one and this one and that one, but it all kind of be connected as kind of a continuation of what we've been talking about throughout the years.
Very well.
All right, so I guess one way to start with this is, you know, we're currently going through this religious wave that you've been discussing, and it's wave imagery is kind of around me lately, so I wanted to just talk about the waves themselves that you've been discussing throughout the years and kind of what's a good way to conceptualize them. I've got imagery on my laptop that just popped up of this huge, beautiful, powerful wave, kind of the kind that you would see in Hawaii that surfers would ride, the very big, powerful waves that come in very smoothly and kind of bring that energy in and then dissipate. Then I was thinking, these waves can't just be like that. And I'm trying to even think through consciousness how the energy is kind of coming through. It's got to be a religious wave that kind of comes, and then you've got other waves, like in a pool, that would bounce off of and reflect off of the sides of the pool and be back and forth and back and forth. And the waves would be impacting each individual, if you were in that pool, as an example, individually at different times in different ways. And then we've got radio waves and sound waves and different kind of waves that tend to ripple out from a center point and move out. So when you discuss these waves, religious wave in particular, what type of a wave would best describe the way to conceptualize these waves?
in which the waves, figuratively speaking, folds in on itself and creates that massive power that you view with an ocean wave of the crash as it meets the shallows and is no longer sustainable in the building of it. In this, individuals experience it in different capacities, but the movement of it is generally the same, regardless of how that is translated by each individual. An individual that is objectively unaware of what is occurring in relation to a particular wave may not be paying attention or may not be aware of the build of momentum that they are participating within, and therefore they may not necessarily notice the directions that they are moving in and the choices that they are engaging and the actions that they are engaging or that are occurring around them as it builds. They generally will notice a time framework in which, in their perception, everything around them and with themselves seems to crash. Now, an individual that is more aware, regardless of whether they are aware of the wave or not, but an individual that is more aware of themselves and their own direction and what they are engaging and paying attention to what is occurring around them may experience it in a very different capacity. They may experience a different type of crescendo, and it may not necessarily seem to be a crash, so to speak, or negative in a manner of speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could, in which the individual is aware that many different subjects or expressions seem to converge in the same time framework and all seem to be being expressed at the same time, but all are connected, and they may not necessarily be comfortable with it, but also not necessarily view it as negative or being a victim of it. Or then there are other individuals that may be more aware and are aware of the action of the wave itself and that it is in motion, and they may be more aware of the movement of it, the building of the swell, and observing what is occurring, and therefore generating intentional choices to either move with it or to use it to emphasize specific directions or subjects that they individually want to address to. And in that, they notice that the energy does incorporate an intensity. Therefore, it is moving in a direction of reaching that peak or crescendo in which the momentum has built to a point in which the fullness of that power can be recognized and is felt and realized and can be used, or once again can be moved with or in a figurative expression can be ridden, and the individual merely is observing and allowing whatever occurs in relation to that movement. Therefore, it is a matter of the awareness of each individual as to how they experience it, or the imagery that is associated with it. But the actual movement of the wave itself is the same.
That's interesting. And I, you know, that's a perfect, that's very helpful, actually. And as you describe that, I would put myself in the latter part of somebody, thanks to you, who's kind of aware that there are religious waves occurring, and I'm part of my excitement lately is probably taking that wave and that energy and riding it in a way that I've kind of been exploring a few different books lately. One, the author is Reza Aslan, and he's an interesting theologian, and I'm kind of resonating with the way he writes, and he's a guy that's probably Sumafi, I'm guessing, either aligned or belonging to. Any validation on that?
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah.
And aligning with
Sumafi, yeah. And part of the reason that I resonate with him so much is he's written these couple of books, one called Zealot, The Life and Times of Jesus of Nazareth, and another one based on the history of the Islamic Muslim religion, No God But God. And he's done a really good job, it seems, of piecing together the mosaic of history through records that we have that are, you know, records from the Roman Empire, if you will, records from the life and times of when Jesus would have lived, and the same with Muhammad, and, you know, when he would have lived and where he would have lived. It's really just very exciting to kind of read his work, because he seems to have done a pretty good job of piecing together what life was like for those two individuals. Any comment on that?
I would agree.
Yeah.
And I would express that this is a direction that I would acknowledge, in that you are allowing yourself the openness to explore different philosophies and expressions that are significant. For regardless of what many individuals may express, that they agree or disagree with different philosophies and religious expressions, it remains a factor that these are considerably influencing philosophies in your world.
Yes.
And are effects of tremendous masses of individuals, and therefore are not to be dismissed. And in that also, what I would be acknowledging in your allowance of yourself to to be exploring these different types of informations and expressions is that especially in this particular wave, it is addressing to not only religious beliefs, but as I expressed, the tremendous constructs that have been generated around religious beliefs, much more so than any other belief system, and how influencing and how much a part of your lives these expressions, these beliefs, these constructs are. And in that, it is a significant part of your world. More so in what you view to be civilized societies.
Right.
That your constructs and your expressions of religious beliefs are generated so much more concentratedly and extreme in what you perceive as civilized societies.
Yeah.
And countries within your world. In actuality, in this particular wave, individuals that occupy physical locations in your world in which they would be deemed to be not civilized societies will likely incorporate less addressing to. Not that the momentum of the waves is less, but less addressing to than individuals within what you view as civilized societies.
Right.
Or the constructs are less.
Well, would you consider the kind of the different Middle Eastern countries to be in the bucket of civilized societies in this case? Because as I read about the nature of Islam in particular, you know, since the beginning of that particular, the birth of that religion, or many fragments of that original religion, there's been, it seems, a lot of conflict. And, you know, I'm going, and certainly with Christianity the same, but in particular, we still have today quite a bit of religious philosophy dictating who's going to run the country, how we're going to run the country, certain factions trying to impose their religious beliefs, not only on others for religious purposes, but also for political purposes. And that seems, in terms of the wave, it seems like throughout the religious era, that's been going on pretty consistently in that part of the world and doesn't seem to be dissipating at this moment. In fact, it seems to be increasing in certain areas with civil wars and other groups trying to, you know, take over Iraq, for example.
Which is quite understandable. Remember, you have not reached the crescendo yet.
Oh.
And that you are continuing to build. And while you are building in momentum, it is consistent that you would create expressions or more obvious expressions of religious beliefs, and this is what you are addressing to.
Yeah.
The religious system, which incorporates all of the religious beliefs, which also includes, but is not only involving religions.
Right.
But in this, what I would express to you is, it is interesting that many of you, not merely yourself, but that many of you look to the actions that are occurring that are more obvious in those countries, and you perceive them as being so very different from your societies. And yes, I would include them in what you would view as civilized societies. Yes, they would be included. But it is almost comical how often and how consistently individuals will look to the obvious displays of religious beliefs in relation to these countries, which are a handful, in your terms, of countries, a small portion. And those that are being noisy, and therefore they are more obvious, but then consistently viewing the rest of the world and your own countries as being so different and not expressing those religious beliefs and those guidelines, and that they are not as important in your country as they are in these other countries. And I would express to you that I tremendously disagree.
I would agree with you. I would agree. Go ahead.
Your country, you in your country are influenced so strongly by religious beliefs that include religions, you do not elect a president or any other elected officials that incorporate certain guidelines in their beliefs. You would not elect a president that is Muslim. I would express to you, you would not elect a president that is Hebrew.
Oh, yeah. No, and I do...
elect a president that is Hindu. You would not elect a president that is atheist.
Mm-hmm.
You have very strict guidelines as to the criteria allow to be your figurehead of your country and within your country, you view other countries as being so strictly expressing of their religious beliefs in relation to their culture and what they express and the guidelines that they express, but you within your own country express very strict guidelines that are religious-based beliefs.
Yes.
And within your own country, you also express what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. If an individual is moving in a direction of incorporating a lifestyle that includes more than one wife, that is not acceptable. It occurs, but the masses in your own country express very strongly that that is an unacceptable heathen expression.
Yes, I see that. Thanks to you and the information, I kind of widened my lens of perception enough that I can watch our news programs that dominate and influence, you know, in that direction. And there's a lot of trauma and conflict with the talking heads, if you will, on television expressing, even though they're not necessarily saying religion, although oftentimes they are expressing that type of thing. And there is certainly a level of hypocrisy there that maybe they see or they don't see or choose to see or not see.
Which is, I would express, very consistent for what you naturally move your attention to is the obvious. And whatever is the squeaky wheel is what will gain your attention considerably. Therefore, when you view other countries that are expressing in more obvious extremes, you pay attention and you generate judgments. Yeah. And you observe them, or they are being noisy, or they are expressing in an extreme, or they even appear in how they present themselves in their manner of dress and appearance as being extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And in that they become the squeaky wheel. And it is not that the rest of your world is not expressing in equal measure. They are merely quieter about it.
Yeah, I can see that. Hey, on that same topic, there's an event that occurred recently, months ago, where a plane, a Flight 370, just disappeared, you know, apparently, and they're still looking for it. And to me, I'm thinking, okay, we're going through the religious wave, and how could that event be put in the context of a religious wave? But you've mentioned before that it, you know, we're not just dealing with religions, we're also dealing with governments. And the expression of not only the family members, but many countries around the world, that a plane could simply disappear in this day and age with the technologies and the redundant systems and the black boxes and all of this technology that's supposed to help enable us to track or find or pay attention to a plane as it flies around our world. You know, I looked at the media response to this, and one interesting thing was how quickly they jump on theories that are quickly proved and then follow each other, one another, just parroting what one is saying, you know, for various reasons, and then having to basically the next day retrace their steps or retract and move on to the next theory and the next theory and the next theory. So, you know, also religion played into this immediately. Our country in particular was focused on the religion of the pilot. He was Muslim. And so they're assuming he took the plane down purposely for some, you know, religious jihadi reason. Just an interesting occurrence that's happening right now. Because historically we've had, you know, planes and ships disappear in the Bermuda Triangle. That type of thing doesn't seem to occur anymore, that it's lost without a trace. Any comments on this particular instance and how it fits in?
I would express that it fits in quite perfectly in relation to this particular wave, and in that what it sparks, but also remember, the religious wave is addressing to the religious belief system, and the religious belief system is the interpretation of all of your religious beliefs, not necessarily religion, as you are aware. In this, one of the expressions of religious beliefs is faith. What is faith? For faith is very much connected with religious belief. It is an expression of religious beliefs. And what is faith? Faith is trust, but it is a specific type of trust. Faith is the expression of trust in what is unknown and what is unseen, and therefore also what can be impossible. In this, I recently have expressed in response to a question as to when the science wave would be occurring.
Mm-hmm.
In that, my response was, first of all, you may be presenting more expressions of science in relation to the religious wave than you actually may in the science wave.
Oh, that's interesting.
For in this, it is a matter of what is possible and what is impossible, and what you believe and what you trust. And in that, I would also express that in this particular time framework, in relation to your technology and your sciences, this is the perfect time framework for that action to occur, for that plane to disappear, which is precisely what it did. For in that, it emphasizes what you do not know. It emphasizes that even with all of your technology and your sciences and how much you think you have advanced, there are basic principles that you continue to deny. The simplest principle of particle theories, dying consciousness in relation to particles and their disappearances and reappearances, and how your sciences to this present time framework ignore the most basic factors that promote their sciences or that would further their sciences and allow them to generate the leaps that they want to generate, they deny in relation to consciousness and perception, the two basic aspects of reality. Physical reality with perception, and all of reality with consciousness. And in this, size is irrelevant. The factor that a particle is so infinitesimally small, or that a plane is so large, it matters not. Size is not a factor.
So it's interesting you say this, because everyone was coming up with theory upon theory and this and that and this and that, I jokingly said to a number of people, and I was not entirely joking, but they certainly thought I was joking, you often said science fiction is closer to science fact than we allow for. A few years ago, there was a very popular television series called Lost, where a plane full of people in that part of the world disappeared. And these individuals were thought to be dead at the bottom of the ocean. People were searching for them, but they were stranded on a deserted island, which apparently was in another dimension. And, the science fiction went a number of different ways. But I basically, jokingly again, said to a number of people, this plane moved to a different dimension. It shifted. It's not at the bottom of the ocean. What's your comment on that?
I would express that you are correct. And I have expressed this previously. Individuals have presented the question to myself, where did it go? It disappeared. It disappeared out of your official reality and reconfigured, and it and all of its occupants appeared in another reality, in a different dimension, and in that, no different than what particles do. It disappeared out of your official physical reality and appeared in another reality, a different dimension. And this is what I have expressed. Size is not a factor. It matters not whether it is large or small. Anything can move from one dimension to another.
And so how is this... Go ahead.
It was impeccable timing to generate that action within this particular wave, for it confounds you, and it is to accept. And in that, you continue to search and search and search to discover some evidence of its existence. You will not find it. It did not crash. There is no wreckage. There are no aspects of evidence of it, for it does not exist in this reality any longer. Therefore, there is no remnant of it.
Yeah.
It is not at the bottom of the ocean, or at the top of a mountain, or embedded in rock, or any other aspect of your world, for it does not exist in your world any longer. And those individuals that occupied that plane also do not exist in your reality any longer. They are presently participating in a different reality, in a different dimension.
So they are very well aware that they have moved into a different dimension. It's not like a fragmented self or a probable self that still interacts with their family as if the plane landed, with no issue.
Not entirely.
Although that, because that's a question, because you talk about, you know, the imagination is a communication of something occurring. If I imagine an accident, that's actually communicating to me that I was just in an accident, but it's a probable version of me or a probable self, an alternate self. You said different dimension here, though, because probable selves would be connected to this dimension, not another dimension, correct?
Yes and no. They are a different dimension within a dimension, but that is different. These individuals did not move into what you would term to be a probable reality. They moved into an actual other official dimension.
Interesting.
An entirely different dimension from your own. And in that, it is a very different situation, so to speak, for that requires a reconfiguration of energy. And as I have expressed, they do incorporate memory of this reality, but it is not readily recalled.
Gotcha.
They can access that memory of this reality, but would require steps, for it is not readily recalled in the reality that they are experiencing now, with reason, for this type of action of moving into a different dimension requires a reconfiguration of energy for implanting humans into another dimension, or even they can be incorporated as what you would term in very simple terms to be shortcuts.
Yeah, that's kind of what I had an impression of, that being potentially. Although our scientists believe that it is, the gravitational pull is so dense that anything that enters becomes collapsed into nothing, but we've talked earlier about particles disappearing, reappearing, and so obviously we've got a ways to go before we figure that stuff out.
I would agree.
Well, this is great stuff. Hey, in our final minutes, last time we chatted, I've introduced you to a friend of mine, Sneha, and you gave me her stats and her intent, which was, to explore the concept of growth in everything. And I told her she's got a lot of work to do because that's a pretty big intent. And it does fit her really well. So she asked if I could ask about her relationship with her husband. He doesn't necessarily share the same. She said he was complacent, or maybe that wasn't the right word, but comfortable, content. Her words were content. He was content and not really anxious to explore. And so that could cause, you know, some issues with the relationship. So I was going to ask you to maybe tell me what her husband, Alex, intent is, and maybe some of his stats. I don't know him very well, so I don't have any idea, but just to help her understand him and help their relationship a little better.
Very well. I would express that his intent in this focus is exploring all of the different capacities of being a reminder of simplicity.
That's interesting. And so for her, and a reminder to her as well as others, I would imagine.
In relation to everything and everyone. And in that, I would express that a significant aspect of that is expressed in his beingness. In not complicating and expressing in directions of simplicity. This is not an evaluation of intelligence or complexity of the individual. It is more in relation to expression and being a reminder of simplicity, and therefore also being a reminder of not complicating, which is a challenging intent for humans. Automatically want to complicate.
I'm guilty.
And humans automatically skip beyond simplicity. And this, an individual whose intent is to explore the reminder of simplicity and not complicating, could easily be viewed as uninterested, uninteresting, flat, not incorporating depth, not being as intellectual. There are many judgments that can automatically be expressed. And continuously supportive and encouraging. Until our next meeting, in tremendous affection, and in glorious lovingness to you as always. Au revoir.
Thank you, Elias. Take care.
Hello?
Hey, welcome back. I didn't go over this time. I heard the beep.
How'd it go?
That was great. It was just fabulous, as always. We went through a whole bunch of different things, but... Has anybody mentioned talking to you about the missing plane, that Flight 370?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I asked him about...
Actually got a lot of people baffled, huh?
Yeah, that, and, you know, it was interesting because I was thinking of the religious wave, and I asked him in that context, just watching the news just fall all over each other. Every day it was a new story. It went this way, it went that way, it's here, it's this, it's the guy's Islamic, and he wanted to, you know, and why isn't the technology working? So it's...
I don't watch the news, so I don't know.
Oh yeah, it was like a circus, everyone clamoring over each other to try to figure it out, and every day it was some expert on TV going, you know, it went this way, it went that way, it did this, it's over here, it's over there, it's in, you know, well, the people yelling at the governments, you should know this, how can this happen, why can't we find this? And he says it just reconfigured and it's in another dimension. So like the TV show Lost that was on years ago on TV.
Oh, I never saw that.
Yeah, it was a...
Is that what that was about?
Yeah, it's, you know how he always says science fiction's closer to science fact than we allow for. And there was a show. It was a famous kind of series on TV. That I didn't watch a ton of it, but a plane disappeared. Everyone thought it crash-landed in the Pacific, but these people were stranded on this deserted island, but it turned out they were in a different dimension, and they were able to travel back and forth, you know, at some points, and... You know, what happens when you kind of land in a different dimension and you're on... It's like Gilligan's Island, only the sci-fi version of it. And so, you know, it's...
Oh, interesting.
Yes, yeah, so...
Asking questions about it and... Or was going to ask questions about it and... was saying that they were looking for it and they couldn't find anything. They couldn't find any pieces. I guess they're like feeling like they want to be done with the religious wave, and so somebody asked him about the science wave.
Yeah.
And his answer was very different from what I would have expected. I mean, because normally if anybody asks him about, you know, what the next wave is and, you know, when it's going to happen or whatever, he basically just says, well, it's not happening now.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know when it happens. But he didn't just say that. He said, you're so excited. Basically, I mean, obviously I'm majorly paraphrasing, but he was like, you know, you're so excited about this science wave happening, and that it's very likely to not be anything that you expect it to be. He was like, remember, these waves are addressing to each belief system. So... when the science wave comes, it's not necessarily going to be this boon of all kinds of scientific discoveries.